destination.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tybus. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun.
Come on, Joe!
Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the five best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tybus.
I'm T-Bone. He is not Tybus. He is Joshua Perry. Hello, Joshua. How are you?
Good morning. Go to hell.
Go to, yeah, GMGTH in the chat. That's the acronym everybody likes to use. You can get in the YouTube chat. Just go to YouTube, 971 The Fan, T-Bone and Tybus. You'll be right there. This is a, this will be your second week, completion of your second week of fill-in duty for Tybus.
Didn't think I'd make it.
I'll tell you what, it went quick. Like, yeah. I wonder how quick it's going for Mr. Powell.
Not fast at all.
The days are long.
Yeah, but the years are short.
That's what they say.
That is. And I like having both a 6-year-old and a 15-year-old, I'm like in both camps right now.
Yep.
Where it's like, oh, the days sometimes with the, like yesterday we went to the pool. I took my 6-year-old to the pool. And like my 12-year-old, we have three. So 12-year-old was there with, she had spent the night with a friend, some, you know, family that we know. She spent the night with their daughter and then they all came to the pool. So we got her at the pool, but I'm there with the youngest and it's like every 5 minutes she's hopping out of the pool. I gotta go potty. Okay. Got to take care. All right. That's fine. Good. Glad you're not doing that in the pool. That's a win. We're good about that. Then it's, can I go to the other, there's a big, like, regular pool, and then there's a little kiddie splash zone area. So yep. But you have to be supervised when you go there. So I got to walk over, take her over there, then back into the other pool. Then can you throw the rings for me? Cause she's got these little rings where she dives down and gets them.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Can we do that? Sure. 5 minutes later, can I get a snack? Okay. And then we get the snack. It's like, actually, I don't want it right now. It's like a hot dog. Can I have it later? Can I go back in? Okay. And it's just, meanwhile, the 12-year-old is just like in the water and I don't see her for like 3 hours.
Right.
Like she's just, I mean, I see her, but she's way over there with her friends and they're just hanging out. And that's like
different vibe.
Yes. Totally yeah. Different vibes. Yeah. So there's a part where I was like, I kind of wish the 12-year-old was more, hey, I want to come like hang out a little bit more with dad, but it's right. That age where they don't. Right.
No, not
where they
at
start,
all.
Where they start to have their independence.
Yes.
With 6-year-old, I'm like, could you be a little more independent right now? Could you just
chill out? We did the pool yesterday as well. We went over to a friend's house. They're very gracious, had us over. And so we've got 2 and 9 months.
Oh, yeah. And that's you're not relaxing at a pool
no,
with those two.
It's a completely different experience. And like the 2-year-old is running around and you're trying to make sure that he understands some safety aspects of being around a pool and, you know, you don't run by the pool and you make sure that there's an adult with you if you want to get in, all that stuff. And he's pretty conscientious about that. But we're also doing potty training with him right now.
Oh,
and
sure.
So there was one point where it was like, hey, James, do you have to go use the potty? And he's like, yes. And part of the reason he's so eager to say yes is because we have bribed him with fruit snacks and he wants fruit snacks. So we got to go through the whole rigmarole of, okay, well, we got to dry off first. We got to take you inside and we got to take off your swim diaper and you got to do the whole thing. So he goes, he sits on the toilet and he's like, daddy, I need to pee. I'm like, great, great. And so we're sitting in there and he's talking, kicking his legs, starts singing songs. And then he looks at me and he goes, we'll try again later.
Look at that.
Nothing out of him.
Worked the system like yeah. A charm.
Well, he didn't get the snack. You don't get the snack unless you make something in the potty.
Okay.
Which he was fine with. He's like, that's why he said we'll try again later because he's going to try for a snack.
Okay. See, that turns that interaction uh-huh. then because I thought it was just like, no, I get like, the snack because I tried, but no, you have to produce.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And now that's good incentive right there.
It was good. He was good. And then Charlotte, like we got there and she's a FOMO baby. So it's like around nap time and she sees all the people and things going on. She's like, I'm not sleeping.
Yeah.
So we get her in the pool and she's loving the water. And next thing you know, my wife is just like holding her and she is dead asleep in the pool.
Uh-huh.
And it was hilarious.
Yeah. It's funny how those get like kids at that age, you when they hit their limit and they're just out, You can literally have them in the middle of a rock concert or a monster truck rally. It wouldn't matter. They would just be like, as long as there's ear protection,
right? Like I'm gone. Like,
I'm gone. Yeah. I'm out. I don't.
Which I can appreciate. Yeah. I love sleeping. It's great. It's one of my greatest skills. And so the fact that she's got that skill locked in, I'm good.
Yesterday was a good pool day. I mean, it was like near 90 degrees, or maybe I think over 90 degrees, whatever it was, depending on what your temperature said where you were. But I did not. I didn't get in the water because I have still been waiting to get. I got what I needed yesterday. I heard at the pool as I'm sitting there with at our municipal's muni pool, whatever you call it,
municipal pool,
municipal pool. Thank you, Dylan. That's right. That pool is not heated in any way. It's a large pool. It would make no sense for them to heat it, and it's in the middle of summer. It should be warm enough, right, to get in.
Yes.
But every year I get in it, I multiple times a year have just been like, I've been in it for 30 minutes, not getting acclimated. It's cold.
It's just that cold.
Yes. But and my kids get out of the pool and they're like, and their lips are blue. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, I didn't make a bad choice here.
Doing the big shiver out of the pool, it's hilarious. It's,
right. And I know that's natural, but like.
They don't care either because they'll dive right back in.
They'll dive right back in. Yeah. Yes. But I do because I have self-respect. And I will say, no, it's not. I'm not getting in. But yesterday I was walking around and people were talking about like, and this is when I know now going forward, I can get in the pool. Because the conversation around the pool from multiple parents was, it's like bathwater in there. Oh, my gosh, it's almost too hot. No, no, no. That's what I want. That's where I am. I need it to be like that. So I yesterday was sitting there in 90 degree heat, not in the pool for multiple hours, watching people splash around. Because I don't get in unless I know it's like bathwater. I'm bougie like that. So, but I think that was a bit of a little personal test to see how tough I could be sitting out in the heat, not getting, I was, and you know what? Had a book, had a drink, and I was good.
I was in the shade.
Well, the shade is,
I mean, I went out in the sun and, you know, was being a father, right? So like doing some of the stuff so my wife could enjoy the pool for a little bit, and immediately, like, and I'm talking about like 90 seconds sweat down my back.
Yeah.
And this is a thing I talk about. It's one of the reasons why I just can't. And then I had to go to an event. So I left straight from the pool, went home, showered up, got clean. And then I go to get in my car so I could drive to this thing. And my car was sitting in the sun all day because I didn't put it in the garage.
Yeah, right.
And immediately sit in the car, sweat dripping down the back.
That's rough. That is a rough look when you've gotten the shower, get back outside and instantly shower vaporized.
Yeah, it's like why didn't even happen. Shower? It's like, come on, man.
I know. Yeah. That's a rough time.
Yesterday, I went to Handles and Powell to get some ice cream.
Yeah, another perfect activity for a day like yesterday because it was sweltering.
Like hanging out up north, huh?
Well, my address is Dublin, but if I lived one more street north, it would be Powell.
Okay.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yes, but waiting in line to get we actually got a Graham Central Station milkshake.
Ooh.
And
what is that?
It's like a s'mores type flavor. Oh,
the Graham. Okay, yeah. I got you. Graham crackers, marshmallow fluff.
Right.
Sounds great.
Just sweat. I was like, is this worth it? I ended up getting a water at the ice cream place because I felt like I sweated out a good 5 pounds just waiting for the ice cream. It was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The feels like was probably close to 100 yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. I know it was warm. And that's you know what, though? I'm not going to complain.
Me neither.
Here's why.
I am.
Well, that's fine. But I am because here's what I want. I want the right to complain when it's cold. Because
then do both.
Because everyone will sit there and go like, oh, you're not going to feel that way with 90 degrees. Yes, I am. I'd rather have this than the 20 degrees and the slick roads and the you know what? Those are bad. It's more the 40 degrees and wet leaves and mold everywhere.
Just grimy.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I get
cloudy
that.
And rainy from November till April, basically. No, thanks. I'll take the 90 degrees.
Just like your Browns fandom. It is a choice to live here.
It is. It is true. It is a choice to live here. It's a choice, though. I will say, like, now that the kids are in school. I love Central Ohio. I've grown up here. It is where I will probably be at least throughout my professional career. Maybe when I retire,
sure.
I may check out some other locales. But even if you want to move, once you have the kids in the schools, yeah, it becomes a much more difficult decision.
Yeah, because now you're ripping them away from their friends, and yeah, you know, that's you're a bad guy.
It's a bad guy, and it's also like a, yeah, my kid was doing great in school until we moved, and now we have palm trees, but my kid like doesn't want to talk to anybody. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if I want to make that choice. Like, right, I don't want to risk it. So,
but yeah. Joshua, when you have that conversation with your kids, what do you remind them? That they're broke.
Their feelings don't matter. I do occasionally. Pay a bill around here, you don't have any input.
This is correct.
Is people paying bills and people sleeping with me, which is my wife. That's it.
Good save.
Good clarification there. Yeah. Good clarification.
Wake up with the Think You Know Buckeye Football. These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. You're listening to the best of T-Bone and Tybus. They're not here, but they're still here. You see, they never let you down. The Fan.
YouTube chat right now having a robust discussion about the Wendy's Baconator.
Yep.
I don't know why that started. I just see there's a question about what are your thoughts on the Baconator. This guy, Lounge 37 Sports, says, I like Wendy's, but I could leave the Baconator.
I am Lounge.
That's you.
Yes.
That's right.
That's your ghost account?
That is
you. Well, I don't have an official account.
No, I like
so
it.
I have a YouTube account. And I was going to... So here's how we got there.
Yeah.
I had this idea to create this like speakeasy type environment in my home and then create content out of there.
Like that?
Yeah. And so it was Lounge 37 was what I was going to call it.
It's good.
Right?
I like it.
And then Sam Acho, who I do not love, came out with a show once he got fired from Fox called The Speakeasy. The some bitch stole my idea.
I feel like
I can't even get it off the ground now.
You know what, though? You can, because you can do it better. I mean, there's that.
Yeah.
You're more likable than him.
Thank you.
I think. By leaps and bounds, personally. But so why are we talking bacon? Like, what happened?
I have no idea.
You said you don't like the Baconator.
It's not that I don't like it. I could just leave it, right? Like, I can eat a Baconator. It doesn't do a ton for me. The thin fast food bacon, right? Like,
I'm a thick cut guy.
Okay.
You want a real quality cut of bacon. I get you. Okay.
But now that honey butter chicken biscuit from Wendy's and their little potatoes, the breakfast potatoes there.
Yeah.
Those are some of the best in the business.
Those little wedge things they have.
Goodness.
Those are fantastic.
Yeah. And if you get a nice crispy one in there.
Mm. Yeah, they do. I will say it's not, I don't think it's as good as like a regular, like an actual coffee place. Mm-hmm. But as far as the places that do like hamburgers go.
Right.
I think their like iced coffee selection is really good.
I agree.
Like I would take it over McDonald's.
This is coming from two guys who drink coffee from sheets almost every day. So take that with a grain of salt.
Right. But it's pretty damn good. I'm not sitting here for someone doing like pour over.
Right.
Their like, you know, they've got their measuring out the grams of coffee they're putting in.
I've got a mocha pot at home. That's like my latest thing.
How long have you had it?
For like a month.
Okay. Have you gotten it to a point where you can do it consistently and get good coffee out of it?
Yeah, I'm pretty dialed in now. It's not like super bitter. It's always going to be a little bit bitter just because of how quick the process is, but it's not like terribly bitter to the point where you don't want to deal with. That's the thing that people say with dealing with the mocha pot is like, it's just bitter all the time.
It's funny. Like, no one would guess this looking at the two of us, but I feel like 9 times out of 10, we're like, you say stuff and I'm like, I've been looking at buying a mocha pot for the house, but I'm worried about, like, I already have too many other coffee apparatus.
You should just do it
in the house. I know I need.
Yeah.
You guys are caffeine addicts and somehow took this Baconator conversation to coffee. So I want to bring it back to the Baconator.
Please do that.
When it comes to if we're talking breakfast Baconator, if that's egg, sausage, and a bunch of bacon, that cannot miss.
Do they put like a sausage patty on there? Yeah. That thing is awesome.
Yeah.
The breakfast Baconator is fantastic. If you've never had that.
I haven't.
Okay.
I will also say sausage patty over a link every time.
Yeah. Well.
Well, a patty to me is for a sandwich.
No,
I'm not eating a patty with a fork.
Oh, no. Really? You don't eat it with a fork. You eat it with your fingers.
Oh, you just pick it up and just eat it like a disc of meat.
That's Neanderthal behavior.
Listen, I'm a linebacker. We eat with our hands.
First of all,
if you see a linebacker eating with a fork and knife, we got problems.
Don't draft that linebacker.
Can't do it.
That's a solid point. You know what? We are spending too much time watching on the field. That's right. That's why they do the meetings in Indianapolis at the combine. They take you out to dinner. The guy's like, there's a steak. You want a steak? And you just like tomahawk. He grabs it by the handle and just eats it. That's your linebacker. That's who you draft.
But when it comes to the regular Baconator, I have to get that now because I'm obsessed with bacon. And everyone out there is saying everyone's obsessed with bacon. I'm a carnivore, Joshua. I didn't eat my first salad till I was 26 years old.
Okay. Oh, no. He's like on the show revealed to us many times how few vegetables he's had in his life. And I mean, I'm not someone who eats a ton of vegetables. Look at me. But I look at him and I'm like, damn, Dylan, that might be a problem. Like, I don't know. I'm worried about it.
Who's it? Al Michaels? Al Michaels. Nothing on me.
That's right. Yeah, that's dude. Right.
Al Michaels.
Al Michaels has eaten more vegetables than I have. Okay. But the JBC used to be my thing, and I've said this before, the patty is too thin now. So if I want a bacon cheeseburger from Wendy's, I cannot get the junior bacon cheeseburger. I have to upgrade to the Baconator.
Oh, see, I don't necessarily have to do that, but I will go double stack, which is different because it doesn't have bacon on it.
Right.
But like, I need the two patties of meat for that size sandwich at Wendy's. Yeah, I'm with you.
I agree. Those sandwiches are thin.
The double stack coming through was like, I think, a sign that it was like, wow, this is so thick. And then suddenly it's like everything got thinner. And now it's like the double stack is like where I feel like the JBC used to be. So anyway, this is called Fast Food Shrinkflation Talk, brought to you by T-Bone and Tyvus, featuring Joshua Powell.
Joshua
Perry. Oh, my God.
Now I'm Tyvus's son. Oh, my God.
That's the second time you've merged them into one person.
Okay. Have I done that? I didn't know I did it the first time. I'm so sorry. God, Joshua, did I say Joshua Powell?
It's okay.
That's because today.
When I go over to their house, I am one of their children. I immediately go for the snacks. I do. Because we don't have a lot of snacks in our home. Yeah. They have every snack. And they got all the best candy.
Jeez.
And so when I'm over there, I'm snacking.
See, you don't keep snacks in the house.
Mm-mm.
And please let it be known that all the snacks are not for the kids. And Tyvus indeed.
Oh, yeah.
Participates in the pantry.
Let him fool you.
He enjoys a snack. He enjoys a snack. I'm sure that. So one NFL head coach got a little more job security. Sean Payton got a few extra years tacked on to the end of his deal. So when he signed up to return to coaching in 2023, he said he had to find the right situation, and that had to be top down ownership, all that. Well, apparently the Broncos were that place, and he feels like it's going well. He signed a new 5-year contract yesterday. But he was in the midst of this was the fourth of 5 seasons that was on his deal. So now the new extra years take him through 2030. Doesn't say how much money he got, but it does put him and the GM on the same trajectory as far as both of them have their contracts running through 2030. You get a team to the AFC Championship game, you're going to probably get a new contract. That makes sense.
No doubt. And the GM lining up with the head coach also says to me that they probably feel very confident about their ability to work together. Ownership is very happy about where they're going. The trajectory, to your point, especially with a younger quarterback in Bo Nix, right? Like, I think this makes a ton of sense to just say we're going to stabilize everything and see if we can make runs at championships.
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, I guess we'll have to find out with, you know, where Bo Nix kind of goes from his own, you know, trajectory as well. That was such a weird end of their season where he plays in a game. They get to the AFC Championship game. And then after the game in that divisional round game where he's like, yeah, I'm done. Yep. Like, I'm hurt. And no one knew it until after the game when Sean Payton, he did his press conference.
He left, went and talked to Bo Nix, came back, said, hey, I want you guys to hear it from me.
Right.
And then... There was also information that he said, and Bo was like, nah, that ain't right.
Oh, I forgot about all that. That was a very little off. I was going to say a very big little off-season thing, but it's an off-season story to kind of keep an eye on, because right after that, it was a little bit of, there was, what was the rub?
I can't remember exactly what it was, but
it's weird when you have a team that's gotten that far and now there's questions a little bit about, and I'm sure they've worked it out. I'm sure it's all fine. Yeah. They'll get on the same page.
If they hadn't worked it out, I'm sure we would have seen like 50 articles this offseason about all the drama in the building.
It has been relatively quiet for the Broncos this offseason.
Except for the phone biter.
Well,
the phone
that eater. That is true. Yeah. That was
a Jonathan Cooper.
Yes. But yeah, Jonathan Cooper, former Buckeye.
Sean Payton said that Bo Nix's injury was predisposed.
That's right. That he was he was going to have this injury no matter what. It was only a matter of time, the way his bone structure was or something. And he's like, that's not true. No one ever told me that.
So. The way his bones are built.
Weird. All right, whatever. Who was the guy they've had play quarterback? This is just Dylan looked things up that we've forgotten. Who played quarterback for them in the AFC Championship game? I'm blanking on who it was. Because it was this whole gunslinger kind of thing where he's going to come in and possibly do it. And remember he threw the longest pass for the Broncos this year from scrimmage?
Oh, it was Jarrett Stidham.
Stidham. That's right. It threw a 40 or 50 yard pass. And then I saw after the game, that was the longest air yardage of any pass they had all year. Which is bizarre to me, right? When you have a team that was that successful and Bo Nix seemed to be on this trajectory, but
Bo's deal has always kind of been can I get the ball out? Can I get it around? He's built on efficiency more than I'm going to hit you with the haymaker.
Yeah. Speaking of haymakers, a lot of people would say maybe the series is over after Vegas goes down 3-2. They go down. What is game 5? 3-2 in the they're down 3-2 after game 5. Dude, it is. They go down 3-2 last night. They win the game 4-2. But Golden Knights now push to the brink. This was in Carolina. They're going back to Vegas for game 6. John Tortorella, former Jackets coach, after the game said, I'm going to leave my clothes here. That's for sure. They'll be in the hotel. We're coming back for game 7. Nice little guarantee from Torts there. I kind of like the energy on that.
What was that basketball story where they put the money in the ceiling tiles in the locker room? Have you heard this one?
Oh, I didn't know about this one.
Was it the Cavs?
I think it was the Cavs with Golden State in 2016.
Yeah, so did they really?
Yeah, they played in, I think it might have even been a regular season matchup, and they knew that was the trajectory that both of the teams were on. And so they said they removed the ceiling tiles, they put the money up there and said, we're coming back to get this money when we win it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
bold. I love it.
Also, there was an attendant and if anybody witnessed that, they were like, they can come back. I'm not gonna be here. They can come back. I'll put a little IOU in there, in Dumb and Dumber.
No, the lore is that
that's an IOU, sir. That's just as good as money.
The lore is that after game 5 that Ty Lue collected a couple $100 from each player and they left it in the locker room.
There it is.
At Golden State.
It's so good. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I like that too.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Best of T-Bone and Tybus. Yes, this is pre-recorded, but Tybus is so dedicated he's still here running the board. The Fan.
YouTube chat, Golf Central Ohio says, beautiful double rainbow over the east side right now. Didn't know we had that, but if you're seeing that this morning, that's nice.
We work in a prison, so
there's no windows anywhere. We see no windows.
School.
Yeah.
A lot of classrooms without windows.
Schools,
which is
prisons
crazy.
Built similarly.
Yeah. Odd how that works. we used to have, I don't know what happened, but on the YouTube channel, we used to have the camera of the tower cam where we could see just outside. So even though I don't have a window, I could at least look at our YouTube stream and see, oh, okay, it's nice out right now. Oh, it's kind of cloudy out right now. Other than I could also walk 10 feet to the door and see what's going on outside. Why do that?
Catching the reflection as the sun is rising. I like looking out there because you can see the room starting to illuminate.
Yeah. Well, speaking of a prison, this is a voluntary decision that these two guys made. I want to be clear about this. So it is not prison, but two soccer fans have apparently found a way to make $50,000 apiece fairly quickly. So the World Cup started yesterday. First game was Mexico versus South Africa. I saw there were 3 red cards in that game and all going against South Africa, Republic of South Africa, RSA is what their abbreviation is. Anyway, Mexico won that game on home turf. Their fans were electric. Cool to see. There was a game at 3 and then there was a game last night at 10, which I think was South Korea and Czechia or Czech Republic. They played. Why there was a disparity at 3 o'clock and 10 o'clock, I have no idea, but whatever.
Maybe they were taking a nice little dinner break that went to dessert.
I don't know. I don't know why it had to be that long. But so if you're saying, I don't know if I could stay and watch both those games, well, you wouldn't be like Austin Franklin or Kevin Accado. Both of them were picked from over 6,000 people who applied to be a part of this thing that Fox is doing, sponsored by Indeed, the job search company. You basically have 104 World Cup matches. These people are in New York City in a bubble. They've built a little studio thing where they have couches. It's a lounge kind of looking place. They've got TVs on the walls. I'm sure they have beverages and the necessities for people to live there. These guys are not allowed to leave for until the World Cup is over.
How long?
Well, the World Cup final is in July. So, like, it runs through this month and then part of next month.
Yeah,
okay. I don't remember exactly how many days straight it is, but it's 104 games they'll have to watch. And I mean, now at the end of it, they...
July 19th is the World Cup final.
Okay, oh, so, yeah, man. we're talking a month.
Over a month.
Over a month. Yeah, like 36, 37 days, something like that.
Ooh.
So they are now at the end of this, for a month's plus work, they will get $50,000. Not bad. I mean, I think that's a very, you know, I think that's a really nice payday for 1 month's worth of work. What I would ask is, I like how Indeed sponsored this, because 6,000 people applied, 2 people got the job. That's a very accurate description of how the job market is right now. Yeah. But also, I want to know if there's something that, because I'm guessing, Joshua, you're not a soccer fan. Would $50,000 be enough for Joshua Perry to say, yeah, I'll give up a month of my life to go watch soccer, a sport you don't really have an affinity for?
It's basically a month out of light prison.
And by the way, there were people gathered around watching these people watch soccer.
And you're a zoo animal.
Yeah.
I'm and you have to do social media posts, and like they're not just letting these guys sit there for free. Yeah. They have to like interact and do stuff.
With this. $50,000 is a significant amount of money.
Well, you know, put it in a 529 plan for the kiddos. That 100%. Can help grow into some college years.
They're fine. They've got money. That's going to me.
for you. That's right.
I don't think I would do it.
50 grand.
I feel like my enjoyment of life is worth a little bit more than that for a month.
Now that's interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like, because here's a part of it, being a parent. If you had to go to your spouse and say, look, I'd love to be around for the next month with the kids and helping out and doing all this stuff, but I got this opportunity, I got to take it. That, like, it's a month of just not solitude. You're being watched, you're expected to do, but it is like, as good as, and as much as you love the kids and all that stuff, it's a month vacation a little bit from your day-to-day reality,
right?
And you're getting paid for it.
Well, but then your wife is going to be like, how much of that 50K belongs to me now?
You're basically going to walk back in and have to have a $40,000 Tiffany necklace or something. Yeah, exactly.
You can't buy a $40,000 Tiffany necklace because Uncle Sam,
who's
a deadbeat uncle who only comes around once a year, only asking for stuff, never giving, just asking, he's going to take his.
Yeah.
I don't know. This sounds like a bad deal to me.
And the city of New York's going to take their big tax.
Oh, that's true. Yes. It better be after taxes, 50 grand, because if it's pre-tax, you're lucky to walk away with like 12 or 15.
I don't think this is worth it.
The only reason I wouldn't do this is for my daughter, because I know she would be sad and not understanding of it, because she's 7 years old. She's going to be like, how come I haven't seen dad for a month? But I'll be like, tell you what, baby girl, when we come back, we'll go to Disney World.
Hey, there
you
go.
And all will be forgiven.
Yeah, that's right. Now, see, again, I this would be a no-brainer for me because I love soccer. I would be all in on this, but I do understand if you don't like that sport, that'd be a little tougher ask. Is there something like the Olympics or, I think, around a similar amount of time?
Like, I think that would be worse.
For me, it would, because I don't care for the Olympics personally. I mean,
if you could get
me, watch a select few events. I'll watch the basketball in the summer, watch a little track and field, winter, I'll do hockey or sports that are like sports I usually watch,
right,
you know, but I'm not in on like skeet shooting or whatever they're doing. I don't know. Like, hey, that's a thing.
Skeet shooting.
Don't laugh. That's a real thing. There's skeet championships, Dylan.
What about
don't
luge?
Laugh at that.
You a luge guy?
I'll watch it for like, I'll watch someone go down the luge and go, wow, this is dangerous and incredible. And then I'll watch the second person go down. And then by the third person, I'm like, this all looks the same to me.
People going down a slide real fast.
Yeah, it's after like a couple watches of it, I'm good on the luge.
I think if you got me 104 college football games in that time span, I could do that. Like, that is something that I could tolerate. I'm not exactly sure I feel like the value would be there still, but like, I could make it through that.
Well, if in that, like, you probably would have a similar number if you did it for 30 some days, because obviously there's more than 104 college football games in a month, but you can only watch one at a time.
Sure.
So if you stacked it up on like, you're watching the Friday night game, right. You're watching like Saturday,
some action.
You're watching, yeah, you're watching noon, you're watching 3:30, yep. Or then you're watching the 7 and even a West Coast. That's 4.
Right.
Plus the Friday, or if there's like, if there's a Tuesday match and Wednesday match, and suddenly you're getting like 6 games a week. That's not, that's about what these guys are going to be. They're going to be doing more than that, I guess. But yeah, that's, I could see college football season. I would absolutely do that too.
Yeah.
I would be in on that.
I mean, I pretty much do it. Well, I get paid to do it, but I would pretty much do it.
Would you watch 104 baseball games for $50,000?
I don't think I've watched 104 baseball games in 32 years.
Baseball. Growing up here, I feel like if you grew up in Central Ohio, baseball's important, has its place, and there's diehard baseball fans who grew up here. I'm not saying that. But I think if you grew up in a town with a baseball team every single day, you got more acclimated to following that team every day. I did not, and I'm wearing my Mets hat right now. I grew up as a Mets fan. I casually keep up with them here. I'm not going to claim I'm a diehard fan, anything like that. You could not pay me. You'd have to triple that before I'd say I'd do 104 straight games of baseball. I'm not interested in it for 50 grand. No, thanks.
I'm still hung up on the sport of skeet shooting. I think people would sign up for that before they actually realize what it is.
I'm just covered in white goo.
Yeah.
Listen, you can look it up right now. It's a thrilling shotgun sport where you shoot at clay targets, clay pigeons. You ever seen that where they shoot a clay pool disc? That's skeet. You're shooting skeet.
Didn't know what it was called.
It's shooting
called
skeet.
Yeah, shooting skeet, baby.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Wait till you find out about I told you about the bird thing the other day where you're when you're looking at birds.
Yeah.
They have a name for that. When you are looking at a bird and it's flying through the air, like I saw a heron flying the other day. And before I could even get a good look at it, I saw how like its wings were going. I'm like, that's a heron.
Oh, yeah.
And sure enough, as it came overhead, I saw the long little legs hanging out and a big beak. And I'm like, yeah, it's a blue heron. Great blue heron. We have all over the place.
Long little legs hanging out.
And what's this called?
The term. Go look up the term.
No, don't look it up. Please don't. You got to put some other terms in the search.
You know what? Let me just do
it
first.
Search engine. Before you just type in the term.
I'm going to type it in right now. What I think the phrase is. Yeah. Okay. This is. So.
Are you going to share the results after you tell us?
No. It's if you type in the word, the phrase to Google. Jizzing a bird. That's the phrase. It's you know how I learned this phrase is from Jim Harbaugh. Did you know this? Jim Harbaugh one time was talking about how birders will notice. He was saying how like when you watch a quarterback, you can kind of tell if they're good or not by how they carry themselves, how they walk.
Sure.
He's like, birders do this. They have a thing called the giss or the giss. And then I looked it up and it was like the literal term when you go on Wikipedia is jizz, like that's what they call it, where you get the overall impression of what you're looking at. I'm not making this up.
I'm not saying you're making it.
We're going birding and skeet shooting. That's what
Jim Harbaugh jizzing his quarterbacks is amazing.
That dude is weird.
How much jizzing do you think he got out of JJ McCarthy?
Anyway, it's been a fun show. I think we lasted about a year. I don't know who's going to replace this, but find out on Monday.
I don't even work here. So.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan Ohio sports destination. Buckeye Show.
I don't know if I've gotten a single email from my parents.
That's the most disappointed that your parents can be in you. You bypass a call and a text.
The Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by CareSource.
Weeknights at 6 on The Fan. It's the best of T-Bone and Tybus. I know what you're thinking. This is so good you can't believe it's pre-recorded. But it is. So if a comment hits and we don't respond, that's why. The Fan.
Joshua Perry filling in for Tybus Powell. And now we are joined on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline by Nicole Auerbach of NBC Sports. Joshua's colleague there. Nicole, good morning. Have you ever seen anything in college sports that has unified almost everyone in one voice against a ruling like this Brendan Sorsby ruling did?
No. Usually everyone's just, there's just too much tribalism or you know, you're, I remember it's for conferences now. Like everyone's like, oh, well, this is happening to a Big Ten team, so the SEC would support it, right? Like this is really unprecedented. And really it's just Texas Tech people and fans trying to rationalize and defend this. And everyone else is just clearly pointing out, like, you know, you bet on your own team, you don't get to play. That's how it works, you know, in all of sports. And that is just not resonating with them. I mean, they put out a 20-minute video saying the same sort of things about, hey, we're trying to help somebody get through gambling addiction, anxiety disorder, but you don't have to play him. That's the part that, you know, the rest of the world is yelling at Lubbock that they're not really realizing. I think they just thought that they could do this. I think that the brass is genuinely surprised by the backlash.
So take me through some of the conversations that you've had this week with, you know, administrators and folks who are having to deal with this on their own campuses. Like, what has the tone of those conversations been like?
Well, I mean, I just think everyone's really angry and then disappointed. So, you know, Joshua, we've been talking all week, right? The initial, like, 24 hours, you're like, I can't believe they did this. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of anger. And that's where, you know, you were hearing, you know, even some athletic directors who are very even-keeled and don't typically, you know, say inflammatory things, were saying stuff, even on the record. But I think, you know, as you continue to talk to people, they're just really, like, frustrated with the state of college sports that you can get to this point, that someone would even go to a judge, you know, and not just accept the NCAA process. Like, people opt into the NCAA, you're a member, you follow rules, there's a whole system. And then, you know, you see people trying to skirt it or try to find the gray area. I will also say, because Joshua, I know you've been, you know, kind of tracking on the Congress piece of all of this. Cody Campbell, the Texas Tech billionaire booster, has been really pushing this Protect College Sports Act. Like, he's really involved in it. The pooling of media rights and some of the anti-Super League stuff, like, that's his fingerprints all over it. I think people have really believed that this week has shown his true colors and that they're very frustrated with him. They already were going into the week, but anything he's trying to say about the betterment of college sports or something at large that he's trying to save or push for with Congress or all these other things, like, people don't take that seriously anymore because of the way he's been talking about this, the way he's obviously supported Texas Tech trying to get Brandon Soares to be eligible.
Nicole Auerbach, NBC Sports college football expert, joining us on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Yeah, on that Cody Campbell front, it does feel like this is, I don't think this issue is the same as the NIL or portal concerns that some people have or any of that, but it does feel like the thing that everyone points to is, when will the grown-ups stand up and do the right thing? And mm-hmm. Cody Campbell's been the guy saying, we need reform, we need reform. Now it's at his doorstep and he goes, I thought someone else mm-hmm. would take care of this. I don't want to fix it. Does he have any credibility moving forward in the discussions of how to fix college football?
I mean, I think if people are going to think about it logically, no. He obviously has, you know, the ear of the senators and the people involved in it, and he's got a lot of money to throw around for potentially more commercials or whatever that looks like. But yeah, you can't argue that, you know, you need all these things, you need antitrust, you know, protections, you need, like, part of the bill is like a one-time transfer. Like, Brandon Soares was transferred multiple times, you know, like, there's just a lot of hypocrisy of the things that, like, he's pushing to, quote, save college sports, and then at the same time say, like, oh, well, we've been backed into this corner and we have to play him. Like, we paid him, we're going to play him. That's what this ruling says, where the ruling does not force Texas Tech to play a player who should be ineligible and has been deemed ineligible by the NCAA. So it's I think that hypocrisy is really rubbing people the wrong way. And then if you think about all the things Texas Tech has done, doubling down in response, a lot of the, like, hey, what about this? What about this? What about ism? You also got to, like, take one step further back and think about, what is Cody Campbell's ultimate goal? Like, he wants Texas Tech to be included in whatever college football becomes. If that's a Super League, if that's like an invite to the Big Ten or the SEC, like, he doesn't want Texas Tech to get left behind. Like, that's why there's certain things in these bills that he's been part of. I don't think anyone, like, what makes them an attractive member or team or program or school to include in anything major moving forward? I think that this stuff and the way they're responding to it, the way they're acting, again, as a member of the NCAA, as a member of the Big 12 conference, is really turning a lot of people off. So it's all going against his, you know, stated missions.
So you mentioned kind of this PR push that we saw in the last couple of days from Texas Tech, and you know I'm a big reality TV fan. I think sports is reality TV, so you need a villain. And I'm curious your thoughts on who the biggest villain in this is. Is it Sorsby, McGuire? You got the AD coming out making statements. The Attorney General of Texas is now involved in this, who's also being bankrolled by Cody Campbell, who we just talked about. Like, if you had to pinpoint somebody that is just like making this worse than it needs to be, is there a central figure to this?
Well, I don't think it's Brendan Sorsby. You know, I feel for him, and I think that, you know, I completely, like, I support, you know, the idea that, like, he needs to be in structure and around support and try to work through his gambling addiction. He says he has an anxiety disorder. I don't think any of this is helping. I don't think that's another reason why I don't think playing games this fall is going to help any of that in the spotlight, the ways people are going to talk about it, putting him back again in the settings where he has gambled in the past on his own team. You know, all of that just is not going to be good for him. I mean, overall, Texas Tech is the villain, you know, now. I mean, I think everyone thought it was going to be Lane Kiffin in LSU because we had it this season, like move over, right? You know, now you have Texas Tech. So I think it's just kind of, it's the whole package. And if you needed a face, maybe it is Cody Campbell. Like, you know, most of us don't know the names of the biggest boosters of most of the schools, you know, especially the ones in different conferences and that you don't play this year, right? But everyone knows his name. And he was the one, you know, he went on Outkick the other day and was saying, you know, like, Penn State did this and blah, 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 and all these people did that, and people didn't refuse to play them, and people get DUIs, and if this happened to LSU, people would be fine with it. Like, everyone's just jealous. Like, he's saying all of that stuff, which does lend itself to the belief that, like, you're setting yourself up to the villain and okay with it. But he also, when he says all that stuff, he's obviously missing the point that, like, you know, in other examples, like Penn State, for example, when the Sandusky scandal broke, like, everybody lost their jobs. Like, everybody left. Like, there were consequences to those actions in all the other examples he brings up. And in this case, there isn't, for someone who really is fortunate that they even played as much college football as they did, if they were, you know, breaking NCAA rules essentially the entire time.
Nicole Auerbach from NBC Sports joining us in the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. You know, I don't think the PR for Texas Tech has been any good in this situation. But if you were trying to build a scenario where suddenly a 2014 playoff doesn't seem nearly as egregious, or like a 16-team playoff, like, after this week of this news, I think all the other college football news we were mad about takes a back burner. On the college football playoff front, like, do we think there's any chance that that changes anytime soon, or do we think still the SEC, Big Ten are just pretty much locked into their positions and nothing's changing in the foreseeable future?
It is a great point about all the things that people complain about for the last month seeming very minor in comparison to, like, are games fair? Can we trust that there's, like, integrity to the competition? I think that this is going to be something that's going to stretch. I mean, there's a December 1st deadline to tell ESPN if you're going to change the format for the following year. There's also a couple years further into the future of championship game, like, venues and dates locked in, which is a problem for, you know, I mean, I guess you could announce that you're moving towards it, but, you know, it's not going to be until those contracts are done. But ultimately, that December 1st deadline is, I think, what we're looking at, because the SEC, I was at their spring meetings, you know, it clearly, like, they didn't want coaches coming out and saying, I support this size, I support that. You know, like, they all were very much like, you know, we support access, we're coaches, of course, we want more spots. There's a really valuable championship game in this league, so we need to be careful. They all said that, right? And then Greg Sankey came out at the end and said, hey, we're going to, you know, we want more information on what the money looks like, when the games would be played, what are the windows, are there people who want to bid on them? And then we'll take an official stance in the fall. So I do think there is a lot of support within the SEC for the 24-team bracket, but I think they want to make sure that the money that they would lose from losing an SEC championship game is close enough to being offset, or, you know, that there are multiple rounds of on-campus games, or, you know, that Fox really would bid on games, you know, to up the price and what they could get in for these additional games. You know, they just want all those information. So I just think it's going to continue to stretch and stretch and stretch through the fall and potentially into the winter.
Great info, Nicole. We appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.